Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, we've talked a lot about this recently, and that is the junior gold stocks or junior precious metal stocks really lagging the sector. However, just in the last couple of days, the juniors have been getting hit a little bit more. And if we want to talk about breadth on the way down, it sure seems like there's a lot of breadth component solidifying the fact that a lot of juniors are moving lower here. We've even seen a little bit of weakness in some of the majors. Today is an interesting day where gold has been up for most of the day. As we're recording this, gold just dropped into negative territory, but the stocks have been down. Well, they've actually really started to drop now, but again, we've just seen this general weakness in the stocks, even as gold is maintained a little above 1920. Jordan, what do you have to say about the juniors just continuing with their correction, not seeming to get any life or any sort of stability right now?
Well, I think, you know, we have to look at juniors in terms of, are we talking about the GDXJ juniors or the smaller juniors? Because, of course, as you know, Corey, I mean, people in America, we look at GDXJ as the juniors, but people in Canada look at juniors as the exploration companies, you know, the tiny companies that are in the venture index. But anyway, I think that this weakness is not that surprising, given that it was unlikely we were going to see the miners break out and run to new highs anytime soon, especially as gold and silver were correcting, especially as gold and silver, they're well off their highs. So, you know, gold's in the low 1900s. So, and also just looking at the short-term charts for gold and silver, I mean, they're kind of ugly. So I in this environment, I wouldn't expect the miners to break out. I mean, that being said, they still have some room to fall, or they can still be in a bullish consolidation. Like GDX, for example, it's at 38 right now. I mean, that can fall to 35, and that can still be a bullish consolidation. I mean, 35, that's the 38% retracement of the recent move. I mean, GDXJ, you know, that could fall to 44 perhaps and still be in a bullish consolidation. I mean, the 200-day moving averages are below those targets. So as we step back, I mean, it's not a concern any one bit, but just looking at the short term and looking at, I mean, GDX and GDXJ, GDX three times has tried to get above 40. So this is the latest failure. And if we're looking at GDXJ, I mean, three times it's tried to get above, 48.5, 49. And that level goes back almost 10 years, is a very significant level. So, I mean, we have, you know, failure to break out there. We have the Fed talking tough. Real interest rates are starting to rise again. So this, I mean, this aligns pretty well. I mean, the sector has been overbought. I mean, breadth, a lot of these readings have been in the 80s and 90s for a while. No breakout, or no imminent breakout, I should say. It's perfectly fine, perfectly reasonable that they're going to continue to correct right alongside the metals. So then I see a little bit more downside in the metals, and that's how I see things shaping up. I don't want to give away all my thoughts right now, but Federal Reserve and Fed policy, getting back to that, you know, the last significant bottom we saw in this market was the summer of 2018, just a few months before the Fed's last hike of that cycle. So my sense right now is that precious metals, that's what's going to trigger the next move higher, is the end of this Fed hiking cycle, which we know is not going to last that long. But I mean, here and now, maybe this meeting in May and then the next one in June or July, you know, maybe they do 50 point hikes in both those meetings. The market right now could be digesting a little bit of tighter policy. And so once we get a little bit beyond that and closer to the end of this cycle, to me, that's when we're going to see, precious metals start moving to the upside again.
Well, Jordan, you've been pretty consistent in your message, and I think you've mentioned that before in previous interviews. And you also said at the end of last month, when we were looking at the month and the quarter, that you didn't like the monthly candle for March and that you thought it was setting up for a corrective move in April and maybe even for a couple months. And seems like that's where we're at. You also had mentioned that besides the longer term bullish 10-year cup and handle pattern, that there's the smaller cup and handle that really started at the August 2020 peak at 2089. And then the other side of the cup was the recent high in March at 2078. But you said you didn't see gold blasting higher there. You thought it had formed another cup and that we'd have a couple month corrective move to form the handle on that smaller cup and handle. So it sounds like you're looking for a couple more months of corrective action, but overall you're still encouraged and see it as a bullish consolidation. And that the other side of this, when the Fed does finally reverse course, is that there could be a sustained move higher in the precious metal sector. Is that generally a good summary of the way you're looking at it?
Yes, it is. I completely agree with that. I think that, you know, whether this correction in gold lasts, you know, another 2 months or 6 months or 4 or 5 months, it really doesn't matter to me. I mean, the setup of the gold chart is really, really bullish. And I do think that there is a real risk to the upside, that the next move higher could be a vertical move higher. Now it's just a question of timing and what it's going to take for gold to put in a bottom and start grinding higher. It's just the short-term action is just a little ugly. I don't want to say it's a bear flag, but we have resistance around 1970. It doesn't look like gold is going to break that anytime. And at the same time, I mean, it's tested 1900 quite a few times. So I'm a little surprised that there's a threat to break below 1900. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see gold test 1880 again, but I would watch the weekly and monthly closes. Maybe we trade below 1900 for a couple weeks, but maybe on a monthly closing basis, it never closes below 1900 again. I could see something like that playing out. But yeah, I mean, that's where we are. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes the market, it's difficult to understand what's really happening technically. But now we're in a situation where it's pretty clear where the next leg higher is a real threat to go vertical when we go above 2100. And, you know, we already made the smaller cup and we're just correcting that 300 point move in less than 2 months. And that's going to take some time. So that's where we are. And I know it's frustrating because it seems like we're always talking about, well, we got to be patient. It takes time. But, you know, if you look at most bull market moves in gold, I mean, you get periods of vertical moves and then consolidation that lasts for a while and then another vertical move. And that to me is how we're setting up. I mean, this correction could turn into some kind of a triangle potentially. But, you know, once we see gold getting back above 1970, I mean, this is going to look really bullish. And, you know, gold is going to be on the doorstep of a very significant breakout again.
So, Jordan, as much as gold is a defensive asset, a risk-off asset, how much of the recent weakness do you think can be contributed to the fact that people, it sounds like investors, are broadly a bit more nervous about the overall health of the markets? And look, we're hearing a lot about recession. We're hearing a lot about just how the lack of new funds coming into the market, that is not going to help these markets. So overall, when people do start to get worried, as much as gold can be a defensive asset, it can also get sold off because people are racing for cash. They don't want to be investing because they're seeing a lot of stuff go down.
Yeah, I mean, I did a little video commentary on that yesterday, and I know there's some concern about a recession and bear market taking down gold, but we have to remember on a secular basis, gold in the stock market, they move opposite basically. So when the stock market is in a secular bull market, gold cannot be in a secular bull market. When gold's in a secular bull, the stock market is in a secular bear. So I mean, it's pretty clear when you look at the last 100 years. So gold is setting up when it breaks above 2100. That is officially going to be the start of a new secular bull market in gold. And, you know, around the same time, a secular bear market in the stock market. I don't, you know, in real terms, maybe the secular bull in stocks is already over. But the coming recession and bear market in the stock market, I mean, that's the catalyst for gold to get to 4,000 in the next 2 years. So people have to understand that. I mean, people are worried about the thing that is actually going to make gold double in the next couple of years, and, you know, silver go to 50 and maybe a little bit above that. So that, I mean, historically, the times when gold and precious metals get hit during bear markets and recessions, it's when they've been rising significantly into that major peak. I mean, the historical examples of that are, you know, 1937, for example. Since 1932 or 33, you had stocks and gold stocks going up together. That's why they both got hit. Another example of that was the mid to late 1960s. They went up together for more than a couple of years. You had a recession in the late 60s. Gold stocks and the stock market got hit together. You saw the same thing in the 2000s. I mean, since 2002, 2003, they went up together. They got hit. We're in a different setup. I mean, gold, precious metals in the stock market have not been moving up together for more, for beyond just a couple of years. I mean, that's when you really have to get worried that they're going to get taken down. But we don't have that setup. I mean, since 2011, gold hasn't gone anywhere, basically. So, I mean, if you look at the chart, yeah, it went higher in 2019, 2020, but, one could argue we're still in the middle of a correction that started in August 2020. So I'm not at all concerned about a recession and bear market taking down gold. You have the 1970s, 2000, 2002. There's plenty of examples where they're negatively correlated and precious metals benefit during a bear market and recession. That's my sense, is that they're going to benefit from the coming recession and bear market. And so we shouldn't be worried about that. However, if the bear market and recession doesn't start for 12 or 18 months, and, you know, in 12 or 18 months, gold's at 3,000 or 3,700, and we're asking that question, then we could probably say, yeah, you know, they've had a huge move already. Now they're at a risk of being sold off during this recession and bear market. Here and now, I don't see that risk. It's just, we have to remember the recession and bear market, that's what's going to make gold break out of this super bullish cup and handle pattern and double over the next couple of years.
I think it's a valid point, Jordan, because a lot of people ask themselves, what will the world look like at 3,000 or 4,000 gold? But it's not going to be because everything's hunky-dory. It's probably going to be because the general markets are corrective and it is a tough time, or else gold wouldn't make that move in the first place, because it is still that insurance product. The question is, have you done any studies or is there any information on what the mining stocks do in that environment? Because a lot of people are, you know, holding gold and silver as precious metals for the long term, you know, hedge against chaos in their portfolio, but they're in the mining stocks to try to get that leverage to the price move. If the general markets did sell off, is it possible that the metals move higher, but that the miners don't follow? Or is there any data on that where would the miners also diverge from the general stock markets?
Well, if you look at 2000 to 2002, the miners, they didn't diverge from gold. In the 1970s, they didn't diverge from gold. I mean, if we're looking at an inflationary recession similar to the 73-74 period, during that period, gold went up basically through the entirety of that recession and bear market. However, if we're looking at the gold stocks and silver, they peaked in the middle of the recession and bear market. I don't have the charts in front of me. So that's something to consider. There is potential for that, where you see a really strong move and the miners and silver are really outperforming, but then their outperformance basically ends when you're in the middle of the recession. And so when you're in the middle and towards the end of the recession, that could be when silver and the miners underperform gold. So, I mean, that's something to take into account. But again, you know, we have the 2000 to 2002 period where the outperformance of the gold stocks was not interrupted. So I don't see a scenario where we're going to see gold blasting higher, making these vertical moves, and then silver and the miners are just not going to do anything. You know, they'll have great moves right alongside gold, but, you know, you could, at some point you could see them start to lose leverage, and they'll get weaker. Maybe when you get into the heart of the recession, you know, that's when there could be a risk.
Okay, Jordan, we'll wrap it up here. It sounds like we are kind of, again, in a waiting process here for precious metals to see when the Fed will reverse course. And right now, it seems like the Fed is going to be fighting inflation, even with some of the recent comments that Dudley made, I believe, this morning. Well, the Fed might be hiking rates even more aggressively, and that could hurt the precious metals, but it's all about when they stop. And let's take a look at these stocks and at least right now hope that the juniors can maybe slow on some of this fade that we continue to see. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll post a link to your website below, and we'll chat again next week. Have a great rest of your week.